Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In my opinion, regardless of what you think he did or didn't do, there is no way that any of this gets going in time, if anything gets going in time, to affect the election in 2020. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see what Thomas Gipping thinks, Deputy Director of the Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time with us.
Thanks for having me.
In terms of our poll just now, do you think I'm right that there's no way any of this happens seriously before the election?
Well, I think there's two different angles to this. One is whether, I think your poll question was whether he'll serve out his full term. Well, there's only two ways that would not happen, is if he was removed after conviction by the Senate or he resigns. I don't think either one of those things are going to happen. But the other angle is whether this will affect the election. And I think that's part of the strategy in those who are pushing the impeachment, is that I don't think anyone believes that he's going to be impeached and then convicted and removed by the Senate. But they want him to be damaged. They want him to be an impeached president when he goes into re-election, and that could affect the election.
But this situation of the president saying they'll be glad to comply if they have a full vote of the House, the House saying they don't have to have a full vote. If there is so much support in the House, why not have a vote? And I understand it's being played out as, or played off as, well, we're not going to let the president tell us what to do. But what does history say about this? What do the rules say? Because I know they can pretty well change the rules whenever they want, right? And is it necessary for the entire House to vote for, not the entire House, the majority of the House to vote for an impeachment inquiry, or just to impeach the president?
Well, the Constitution does not specifically require a vote by the House. It simply gives the sole power of impeachment to the House. But historically, both with regard to impeachments of presidents, for example, Bill Clinton, the near impeachment of Richard Nixon, but also with regard to the impeachment of other officials. Most of the impeachments in our history have been of judges, for example. The historical practice has been for the House, the full House, to vote on a resolution authorizing one committee, the Judiciary Committee, to begin an inquiry as to whether there's grounds for impeachment. What's happening today is completely unprecedented and radically different than that. The House obviously hasn't voted, although I hear that when Congress comes back next week, they might. But what has happened is just simply that the Speaker has, it's like she, you know, drew the flag and said, go, and then six committees have launched into whatever it is that they want to do. This is radically different from the way we've done impeachments in the past, which, by the way, is, you know, short of declaring war, I suppose, is the most serious thing that Congress can pursue.
Is that being taken lightly by the House?
Oh, I think the Democrats in the House are taking it.
That's what I meant, not the entire House.
I wouldn't say lightly. I think they're taking it very seriously, but they're taking it politically. They're using impeachment, which is supposed to be a very rare, very serious step to remove a president who's been elected. And they're using it simply as a political weapon. They're kind of weaponizing impeachment to just politically damage the president. And that's a complete disregard for the integrity of our political institutions. And it's the kind of thing that both parties used to believe, you know, was off the table, but now Democrats are putting it back on.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll pick it up here. Any questions you have, you can text them in to 870-870 about the impeachment process or the politics involved or what's likely to happen. 650, 10 till 7. Got a traffic coming up right now on WWL. It's 6:56. On the heels of that, I will remind you we have tickets to give away for the LSU-Florida game. We'll do that sometime between now and 10 o'clock. Thomas Gipping, our guest, Deputy Director of the Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Thomas, I asked for questions from the guests, and I got a bunch of them. And clearing out the obscenities, basically they come down to, aren't both sides breaking the rules or making them along, making them as they go along? And I get impeachment on a Democratic side. I get from people criticizing the Republicans about holding the seat open for until the election. Mitch McConnell did that. No voting on a Supreme Court, filling the vacancy. You know what I'm talking about. So, are both sides breaking the rules? And what does that portend for the future?
Well, but I mean, let's not compare apples and rocks, okay?
Okay.
We have to be talking about the same thing. Are there things that each party did at some point in the future, House or Senate, that you don't like? Yes. Yes. Let's concede that. The point here is that the impeachment is provided for in the Constitution, but it is a process for removing a president who's been duly elected. In other words, our system of government is based on the people choosing their leaders. We do that with elections. We have an election in 13 months. The question here is whether President Trump has done something so egregious that he's got to be removed now and that the last election should be neutralized. That's the issue. It's not an appointment 3 years ago of a Supreme Court, you know, justice or something like that. And as we've talked about, House Democrats aren't necessarily breaking a rule as if the Constitution requires it. But when the Constitution gives something this grave to the House to do, and in the past, the House has always voted on a resolution to authorize something this serious, don't you think it's a little bit out of the ordinary this time for Speaker Pelosi herself to just say, go ahead, and to have no rules set, no parameters set, and six committees for the first time in American history just roving about the countryside. Does that break a rule? Well, maybe not. Is it wrong? Yeah.
In terms of impeachment, I looked it up and I tried to research it. How long after he was inaugurated did impeachment talk begin? It may not have been the day after, but it was pretty close.
Well, no. I mean, Democrats started talking about impeachment on the House floor within 2 weeks of the president's inauguration. The first articles of impeachment were filed formally against President Trump in June of 2017, more than 2 years ago. So this isn't something that it's kind of like Barack Obama getting a Nobel Prize for something he hasn't done yet. Democrats wanted to impeach President Trump for stuff that he hadn't even done yet. That's really what's motivating.
Thank you, Thomas. I'm not cutting you off. We got to go to the news. Today's the anniversary, I think, of President Obama getting that Nobel Prize, which a lot of people thought was premature. Thomas Gipping, thank you, from the Heritage Foundation. When we come back, and I can see it here in the text, we're going to talk with Ron Fauci about the political division in this country. And even talk about George Bush and Ellen.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.